Hello?
Con noise is a sound. Just playing con noise.
You know, I think this could be an art project. Like, just, like, setting up a microphone that streams to the internet, just, like...
Ambient noise?
Ambient conference noise.
Have you ever heard... I forget what the name of the website is, but they have a website that plays, like, ambient music?
Yeah.
With, like, New York City police radio scanner over
what?
Top. It's the most relaxing thing.
That sounds great.
Oh, it's so awesome, because you're sitting there, it's like... And then all of a sudden you hear like 10-4 breaker or license plate 735, and it's like super, like you could fall asleep to it. It's just completely random. I forget what it is though. Police. I'm sure if we googled police scanner with background music. Yeah.
I don't know. That's not as effective as I would think. So I like once found this website where it would like it took Rainy Mood,
which is great.
Which is great. And then, like, cafe noises or something.
I've done that, yeah.
And Soma FM. And it would do all of these, and you could
like, plates clinking
them.
And, like...
Yeah, so, yeah. Like, if you want to, like, be in an ambient kind of, like, cafe...
Like, pretend.
Thing, like, pretend that you're, like, actually at a place as opposed to, like, in your house wearing your underpants. And,
I always like, wanted to, like, have speakers in all my rooms and just pipe it around. So, like, it's just coming
it's
from everywhere.
Cafe.
Yeah.
Didn't you know?
So I should record like 6 hours of con floor noise and then just pipe it through my apartment 24/7.
Well, you know what? I feel like we might just have a few hours
of
con noise.
Oh, you're right. Totally.
Because we just had Dead Space this morning, apparently.
Yeah. Well, that'll be mostly like probably me snoring over there and then people drunkenly stumbling around like trying to find the bathroom.
Yeah. But I mean, that's con noise. But you mean you just want like this?
Yeah.
On a loop.
Forever.
Wow. Do you really want it forever?
Ever.
Forever.
Like, permanently in my ears, whatever I'm doing. It doesn't matter.
I think we have somebody that's coming to join us.
Nice.
I like when people join us. You should just leave that door open, man. They'll be inviting. Maybe somebody will just wander in. It'll be great.
Nice. Broadcastify?
Broadcastify? What does that do? Official app for the world's largest source of live police scanner streams.
Oh, yeah, there you go. And then we could just play police scanner scenes with con noise in the background.
Yeah. I'd feel relaxed. I feel like you could put some Tibetan singing bowls in there.
Ooh, maybe some throat singing in the background very far in the distance. Yeah. The occasional loon, maybe.
I should have really been a folio artist, but not really.
The college I work at has a full like studio.
Really, they have a folio studio.
Like a full, and I want to like just stomp on things and stab melons. Like it must be so cool to take that as a class. Like the thing looks like a small gymnasium, just filled with different floors and stairs, carpeted wood. It looks so cool.
I should come up at some time that's not Hope, and I would, if you could, like, arrange for me to go hang out there, that would be
right?
Cool.
I don't know if they'll let me there, but if they did...
I mean, usually, like, college
punching
professors
bags
are
and
chill.
It's like a brand new state-of-the-art facility. Sometimes they get a little possessive.
A little possessive? Only a little possessive?
Only a little possessive. Okay. It has to get, like, old and worthless, and then people are like, yeah, go in there, hit things with baseball bats, whatever you want. We don't even know where the keys are to the door. Like, that takes a while.
It's just unlocked all the time.
Yeah, it's like, we just keep it locked because it looks good in pictures and we show it off in tours, which is probably like 50% of it.
Oh, man. I don't know. I love, like, folio art. It's just, like, so cool to me, though.
I always wanted to be part of one of those, like, radio plays and, like, the dude makes the step sounds and, like, it must be fun.
Did you ever, like, listen? Does anybody listen to Prairie Home Companion?
Sure, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, before
it went on.
I don't like the dude they replaced him with. I haven't really listened to it since.
Oh, did they? I pretty much
stopped
paying attention.
I don't know if the old guy retired or died.
He retired. He's still alive.
So the new guy, it's not the same. I mean, it's similar, but it's different.
I mean,
it's not my thing. I don't feel like I'm on the prairie anymore.
It's not Garrison Keillor than
what's his the place where all the women are strong in the
Lake Wobegon.
Yeah, there's no Lake Wobegon anymore. Yeah. No one quite told the story like he did.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a guy? I think it's Joe Frank.
Joe Frank. No, tell me about Joe Frank.
It's similar. He does like radio plays, but they're kind of. Do you know what I'm talking about, Joe Frank?
I think so.
Where they're like really bizarre radio plays. So like it'll start out like Confluor noise, and you'll be overhearing a conversation someone's having about like just something really benign, and then all of a sudden it'll interrupt it and go into this like 15-minute long monologue about how he's like waiting in line at the register, and he envisions himself like swinging like Tarzan through the tiny hairs of a balding old woman in front of him. It gets really, really weird, and then all of a sudden, then it'll flash forward to like him telling a story about him living by himself and thinking he's going to die alone, so he calls like one of those 800 numbers to find like a woman, and he describes like all these like intricate details, like she speaks fluent Thai and collects blah blah blah, and then the woman shows up and like it's really not what he wants anyway.
Do you ever listen to any of them on BBC4?
I always catch them on like weird radio stations around here.
Well, BBC4, they do a lot of radio plays.
Uh-huh.
And then, like you're saying, they've usually got two, three guys, some women there and stuff, and they're doing all the sound effects and the different players.
Yeah, sometimes
and stuff.
It's really nice. Yeah, it's really engrossing to just like. I could imagine like sitting in front of a radio in like the I guess the 40s, 50s.
Yeah
like late 40s, 30s, yeah. Just like hearing radio plays and like, man, that must have been so great.
Yeah, without a doubt. Because, I mean, I do a lot of audiobooks, but you usually have just one person who's reading it, and then they're trying to do female voices and children's voices and stuff, where with radio plays, you have different people doing all the different voices, and it's really great, and sound effects. And
Yeah.
It's a lost art, really.
Yeah, like, there's not really a very large forum for that anymore.
Nah.
Well, we should try to make one, then.
There kind of is, though. But it's not like radio. It's not being broadcast on the radio anymore. It's going to be more like, you know, podcasts.
Yeah, it'll turn into and who knows? You might be able to make a better career doing podcast radio plays than you ever did on the radio now. Yeah.
Like if you think about like Welcome to Night Vale is kind of like a radio play thing, like different actors. Which actually, Welcome to Night Vale is really great because it like takes play like the guys are the main character. I guess is kind of like a radio announcer, and it's based on like. This is the local news show for this place where all this weird shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like the Black Tapes podcast, the PNWS. It's like Pacific Northwest Stories. Has like a whole series of things where they're pretending that they are like just a radio station, kind of a thing. But it's all they have different characters and different stories.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you could probably.
So like, there's definitely really like, cool. podcasts that are kind of like that same format.
Nobody interesting if someone did a podcast that was like, remember there was like a TV show about like a radio station, it was like WBKRP.
No.
So I forget what it was. It was about like a station in Chicago maybe, and like how
comedy.
Yeah, it was a comedy, and they
WKRP
all
WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yeah, in Cincinnati. So like that would make a really awesome podcast because like you could have like the real them being on the air, and then like a side podcast of like them interacting with each other. Like you're like someone left the mic on and you're overhearing them argue.
God damn it, Jen.
Interesting fact about that show, when they licensed the music that they used in the original broadcast, they only licensed it for X number of years. That's expired.
Oh, I hate it when that
so,
happens.
So, yeah. So now when they run them for reruns, they're overdubbing the music in them with some shitty music.
Like just different,
yeah,
like elevator
exactly.
music or something.
Yeah, it sucks.
No, I think that's so dumb. Like, I feel like...
There's another instance of that. I think there's examples of like TV show, like a lot of TV shows that are on Netflix now, where they had to change the music because they don't have licensing for it anymore.
Yeah,
maybe it was like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, or I don't remember what it was.
There's definitely
instances
of that. I just think it's crazy that like so audio work is such an important part of like a television show.
Oh yeah,
the whole thing works as a package, and sometimes the music is definitely making a point or supporting. The video, and then to have to go in and change it, like if you make a piece of art, like that's a mixed media kind of a thing, and then
Now you have to change it.
You have to go change it.
Like, imagine, like, if Eye of the Tiger was licensed for that Rocky movie and it expired and they had to, like, switch it to just, like, Elevator Muzak or something. Like,
yeah,
you'd
really
be like,
suck.
Yeah.
Like, it completely changes the meaning.
The whole training montage doesn't work.
Yeah.
But the whole point of the montage.
I definitely would agree with that.
Yeah, it's really interesting that that the licenses expire for music on TV shows. Well, I guess it's like with
it's probably cheaper that way, but like it really should just be you pay and then that's part of it for forever.
With the Nintendo game Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, they don't have licensing of his name anymore, so Mike Tyson's Punch-Out is Punch-Out and it's Mr. Dream instead of Mike Tyson.
Yeah, but don't forget, years ago, TV shows didn't last as long as they do now.
Yeah, like...
You got, what, 3 networks, 4 networks, you know, and now we've got so much content out there.
3 to 4 years was like a long run for some of the comedies back then.
Plus, there, you know, it probably predates DVDs and VHS tapes and stuff, so nobody was buying them to watch them, so 10 years was probably a great time length.
Oh, yeah, no, 10 years was a long time. I would say that, like, very rarely did you see something go past, like 7 would be probably wildly successful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely living in a golden age of TV now. There's just, like, there's tons of stuff that's great, and there's too much to watch.
Too much and, like, not enough time.
Yeah,
I need to quit my job.
Yeah, you literally couldn't fill your day with content. And even, like, I've gotten into, like, some, like, weird stuff where I'm watching, like, subtitled... dramas that came out of, like, Israel, or, like, I was watching this other TV show that was, like, a Russian, like, police procedural, and, like, it's not just, like, in America, like, there's good content everywhere.
There's great content.
And there's no way for people to witness it all.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I watched the Netflix series Dark, which was produced in German, you know, and I took it in all the subtitles and read it, and it was a great show, but there's a lot of shows that come out of the Scandinavian area that I watch, and they're just great dramas and crime dramas and stuff.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. I mean, it doesn't have to be produced in the U.S. or Canada to be good.
Oh, there's this TV show I watched on Netflix that was really good. It was about, like, a diner in Japan that only opened after midnight, and, like the people would come in and he'd cook them some type of meal, and then it'd be a story about the customer, and then it'd come back, and, like, anyway, I got obsessed with it. Like, I had to watch every single episode, and it was just a subtitled Japanese drama about a diner.
Was it on for more than one season?
No, I think it was only one season.
Huh.
But it was great.
Name? Remember the name?
No. Yeah.
And I'll have to duck-duck-go it.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was great. It was just really entertaining. Like, because I guess maybe the culture's so different that, like, it just, like, you're like, oh, like, this is like I'm vicariously living through something I'll never get to experience. Like, yeah. Sort of like... The Israeli TV show I was watching where it was like it was kind of like a police procedural, but like they showed like the side of like Palestinians and, you know, the what affects them, and then Israelis and them interacting with each other in like sometimes really violent ways. But like you wouldn't, I guess the equivalent to that would, it's kind of like The Wire here, like
The
like,
Wire.
Yeah.
There's a show that will never die.
Ever. No. I don't think I could watch it again because, like, I know what's going to happen, but I remember, like, the first time I watched it just being, like, so absorbed into that little world. Like, HBO made great content back then, Wire and Oz and whatnot.
Did it make you want to go to Baltimore?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Though, I did go to Baltimore recently, and the whole little harbor area is really cool. I like the aquarium.
The inner harbor?
Yeah, and you take that little water taxi and bar hopped, and Baltimore's a great city. Well... You know, if you're in the touristy area, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't really have any experience outside that, but the touristy area was great.
There are still some prime areas, yeah.
Yeah.
Beaches?
Yeah.
Turn my headset down just a little.
Your down.
Down?
Okay, yeah. I don't know which one's yours.
Oh.
Well, it
probably
goes...
Probably the stretched out cord, because it's not...
This
is that
better?
Is your going down?
No.
Down more?
Do you hear it all?
That's not changing at all.
That's not yours. No. What about this one?
Turn it up a little.
Is it better? Better?
A little bit.
Better.
Should we
go
back
to the throat singing?
Perfect. Yeah, you guys were blowing my ears out.
Yeah, so much great TV. Mr. Robot. Mr. Robot's great.
That's
like a hacker TV show. Like, that's one that hasn't jumped the shark yet. Like, I find it, like, really enjoyable and sort of, like, you know, quasi-realistic in a way.
You know what? Actually, something interesting that you may or may not know is that Side Pocket is, like, an extra in, I think, season 3. for like an episode.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, so they did like a call for New York City area hackers. So it's like, oh, if you're a hacker in the New York, New Jersey kind of tri-state area or whatever, like near New York City, if you could come out for a day, like just like, you know, submit some paperwork and stuff, and we'll have you as an extra, you'll get a little bit of money and be on Mr. Robot. And Side Pockets definitely...
You see him?
Yeah.
Oh, briefly, that's cool.
Cool.
Very briefly.
I was drinking in the city one night, and I accidentally stumbled, like, well, I didn't stumble, I jumped a fence to get into Union Square, because I was like, you can't keep me out of here, like, it's New York City. And they were filming Mr. Robot, the scene where the guy burns the big pile of money. I don't know if I ruined it for everybody. Anyway, there's a scene where, like, someone burns a big pile of money. And that was the scene that they were doing on the opposite side, but I guess they had to do it a couple times. I was on the opposite side, but like everyone was moving paths, and then you had this drunk guy wandering around wondering why people keep like going and then hearing cut and then going back to the beginning and just repeating it. Meanwhile, I'm like through the scene.
So are you on TV?
No, I think it was just like they just needed background people moving, and you know, they didn't want people back there staring at the cameras or whatever, but it's always good to hop a fence in New York City. Yeah, I was like, why is it so well lit in here? Like, I didn't put two and two together till like someone started talking to me. I was like, what's going on? They're like, they're filming Mr. Robot over there. I was like, oh, probably shouldn't be here. And then wandered off to, I think, get a falafel.
So was it on Radio Statler this morning where somebody was talking about getting access to Google China through thermostat?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the insecurity of the internet.
So did that happen in Mr. Robot season one? Did they use a thermostat to get into
the place where
they had the storage of the media backups and
they,
stuff?
They probably use this. They use like a lot of like things that happen from the news to like make the story seem more realistic.
I was thinking that when I was getting ready to come down this morning. I heard that and I'm like, wait a minute, that sounds like an episode of Mr. Like, Robot.
Who secures a network that you plug thermostats on? Like,
that's called the IoT network.
Yeah,
right?
And then and that's how Google. Google China got hacked was through a thermostat. I was reading an article somewhere that the days coming up to the whole Helsinki meeting between Putin and Trump, they saw like huge increases in people attacking the Internet of Things, just like spamming like SSH ports, just trying to find ways in to see like, hey, maybe we can get into something somewhere.
I would imagine.
I think they said it was like a 16,000-fold increase in port scanning.
Jesus
in Helsinki.
Christ.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It started out from everywhere, and then it said primarily from China around that time period. Interesting. Maybe we should go to that talk about the state hacking, and maybe they would talk about it. I'm sure they would.
Maybe. It depends on when how early on he finished their slide, the person's slide deck.
If they have questions. Or maybe it's in the slide deck. Who knows?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because, I mean, that is an example.
It is, yeah.
Unless, I mean, I would assume it's an example. I hear China has good hackers.
I mean, I think there are intelligent people in lots of places, right? So, like, people who have kind of that hacker curious mindset.
True, but I feel like there's a difference between, like, hacker mindset curious and, like, state-sponsored 24/7 warehouses full of people trying to penetrate, you know? Which,
well,
I guarantee you every government has.
Yeah,
certainly.
Well, so like, I think the biggest difference between like independent actors and state level like APTs, so it's advanced persistent threats, right? So I think like the big thing for them is just that when you can do this as your full time job for like to draw a salary for a year with benefits and shit, that's a big difference. Like it's like okay, you. Like, that's the big difference between... It's not that they're necessarily smarter. It's just that they have more resources.
Oh, no, it's the resources.
Yeah.
It's not someone tinkering. It's someone whose job is to do this. Like,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
but
the difference.
So it's pretty much just you have unconstrained kind of, like, weaponized curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds like a storyline out of
And a very well-educated workforce.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go from here.
Hack the planet.
Hack the planet.
And, I mean, we were talking about, like, Stuxnet earlier as an example of, like, state-sponsored, like...
Holy shit, Stuxnet's fucking intense. Like, you read how that whole thing works, and it was like, what, six different zero-day exploits to, like, just kind of fuck with shit so that you would kind of not notice that your shit was on fire.
Yeah.
And it would just destroy
like,
itself.
Like, the spinny things, the, Silotrons, are they called? I forget what they're called.
It's not Silotrons.
anyway, the equipment used to manufacture purified uranium or enriched uranium,
enrich it.
Like literally shook itself apart, and no one knew that it was like spinning to its destruction. Until
the display shows one thing while they're doing something different.
Yeah, and they just like I don't even think they sped it up. I think they changed like the cadence of the spin or something. Yeah,
which tore themselves apart.
And you think like. The expertise it took to figure out a way to get in there and then design it. And then other people took the same code and weaponized it to do other different things elsewhere.
Yeah.
And apparently that code showed up at other places, but it only worked on those specific ones at that location, which always made me curious because the story is that it got installed there via USB drive. Which means that those systems would have been isolated, but yet somehow it knew geographically where it was to only work on their equipment.
Yeah.
Which kind of always made me wonder how that connection happened.
I would assume maybe they had some type of inside knowledge, like they used this subnet, or maybe, who knows? Or maybe you did some type of detection and you're like, well, we know that this thing exists inside their network, so if we could find it, then do something. If not, then don't do anything ever.
Yeah.
Who knows? Like,
they were very good about it because it's been found in other places that are doing uranium enrichment, and it has never caused a problem in any of these other places. So they were very, very good when they did it.
Well, so Stuxnet was like a worm kind of a thing, right? So it would propagate across the network.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, pretty much you just have to propagate across the network until you saw, like, probably the locale is, you know, a certain language.
So, and maybe, has, but, like, there were all of their systems were, right? Like, air-gapped, and then the thing was, it wasn't just, like, it was infecting computers to infect, I forget what's the machine code used to run.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just the way it was written, like, it was in a similar way of, like, you're, like, the way that, like, viruses spread, where it starts with one vector, like, oh, this is a pig virus, and then it jumps to humans in the same way, like, this thing was on an air gap network and then jumped into, well, it didn't jump, but something was connected to the internet and it attacked something that, like, a totally different vector. Like,
well, it might also not have been that those systems were completely air gapped.
It came in on a, like, the controllers were air gapped.
Yeah, they were.
Completely air gapped?
Yeah, it was in a secure facility, yeah.
Well, you came in still on the USB. Right, so you could have it where you have, like, your normal secure enterprise network and also your air-gapped, like, you know, uranium-enriching network.
Yeah.
And you could still have it where there's some link that's supposedly
the hardened. USB key.
So, like, you could have it where if there's any connection between your secure enterprise network and your enriching network,
that's like the thing you exploit.
You could put that could be where you would exploit.
I mean, who knows? There could have been a bad actor that just...
Or somebody could have actually just been like, I wonder what this USB drive is, and then plug it in.
Yeah, threw them in the park. Who knows? Threw them in the parking lot. It could have been someone who's like...
Well, they probably had a bunch of them, right?
Had blackmail and was like, here, you need to just plug this in, and then that's it. You're done. Well, it goes away. Whatever
that... Iranian blackmail. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah, it could be. Who knows?
Have pictures of you and your camel.
There was a talk here a few years back about people who were talking about how insecure a lot of, like water management infrastructure and the electric grid is, because instead of, like, designing new systems that are secure, they just took the old systems and put them on the internet.
So you're right. I mean, years ago, I went to see the movie War Games. Oh, I'll date myself here. You know, came home, I had a Commodore 64, and they had just released the modem where I didn't have to put the handset in, where I could actually just plug it in, exactly, you know, and it would dial. And I wrote a war dialer. Used to leave it run overnight while I'd sleep because, you know, we only had one phone line in the house at the time. And I stumbled across a traffic light controller for the next town over.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. So
that's crazy.
It is crazy. And you know, I mean, everybody keeps saying that, you know, the Ukraine is the practice run for the U.S., so...
Oh, I forgot what happened over there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Didn't they think that was North Korea that did that?
I don't
think so.
Their neighbors.
They never... Was it?
To the west.
Yeah.
I don't remember. There was something that came out from North Korea that was hitting people somewhere.
I think North Korea was... it was malwares.
It was like a malware that infected like trading systems or something, right?
No,
just by accident.
It was by accident. It was the it was that ransomware.
Yeah, it was ransomware.
It was the ransomware that like it hit.
Was
the
that
UK.
The one that hit the UK hospitals?
Yeah.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, it was the hospital and encrypted the medical records.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I don't remember which one that was. WannaCry. It was
WannaCry, yeah.
Yeah, WannaCry, I think, was attributed to, supposedly attributed to North Korea. And I think I saw some articles that were saying that, like, based on analysis, it looked like it was kind of unfinished. So it looks like they were testing
it. Like it escaped by accident?
And then it accidentally escaped.
Yes. Yeah, I remember reading that as well.
Because otherwise, like, I think the way that the keys were done, I think you could decrypt it pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. And then, obviously, somebody registered that one URL and then everything stopped.
Command and control that they didn't have?
Control.
So he's still a guest of the U.S. justice system, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought he was on bail or parole or something.
But he's not allowed to leave, is he?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I recall. Which is why a lot of people don't want to come to Hope.
Yeah.
They want to come into the country.
So here's my virus writing story.
You've heard of virus?
No.
It's just a story.
I compiled a QBasic executable that on a certain date would delete all the VXDs from a computer. Like, you know, it would like brick a computer. Not a virus. It was I don't even know what you would call that. So
malware?
In high school, whatever.
That's
so in high school, this is like
malware.
In the 90s. Me and my friends made boot floppies, and over a period of months, like every time we'd see a new computer, we'd plug in this boot floppy, restart it, it would copy this executable over, install a startup script that would check to see what the date was, and if the date was there, it would delete the VXDs. So that on a certain date, it would just wipe out every computer in the high school. I don't know. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
That's a terrible idea at any time.
It's not a bad idea.
It seemed like,
it's just a dick move.
Well, the idea itself is really not bad at all. The implementation may be bad. But
yeah. I mean, eventually, I'm like, well, every time these kids go into rooms, they're popping in. But no one knew what was going on. So one of the computers had the date wrong, and it went off like 2 days early. And the school flipped over one of the computers breaking. So then, we're like, oh, no. And I think what they did was they went around asking, like, there was, like, four people that they asked, like, do you know what happened?
Yeah.
And someone said, I don't know what happened, but if I were you, I wouldn't turn on any computers tomorrow. And they left them all off. And then it ran and then the next day happened, and then... I think we put something in where it would delete itself if it was after the date and it didn't work. So we got lucky there. Then we figured out they used an old Novell network.
Ooh, love Novell.
We figured out that if you... back then, the internet, it was dial-up, but the local school district hosted like phone and internet for like the whole town. Like they were the ISP as well.
Oh, wow.
So we discovered that from the high school, if you read and wrote to the Novell server small files super super quick, you'd saturate the point to the town that the to the point where the entire town would lose internet.
So the Novell was handling the town's internet as well.
Well, what we'd think would happen is the Novell would saturate the high school's network, and then it would just kill the
okay.
It would denial of service basically the internet that they were providing. So every day at 3:30, like we had this class, and every day at 3:30, the network would crash, and none of the computers would work, and no one would have internet until either like someone stopped running the program or the computer restarted. A group of my friends, they actually know how like you get report cards and there's little comments.
Yep.
They invented a comment that says abuses and misuses computer hardware or software.
That's fantastic.
And one of my friends got it, and he was like super proud. He got banned from using computers for the entirety of his high school. So he decided after he got banned to join. They were like, "Hey, we're going to build a website for the school." So he attended the first meeting when they talked about what potential domain names it could be, because they were going to buy SpartaHighSchool.com or whatever. I just gave away where I'm from, but they were going to buy like HighSchoolName.com. So he went home that day, because they didn't buy it that day, and bought every variant that he could think of and redirected them all to porn sites. And the school...
Domain name squatting.
Yeah, he squatted on every domain name they can use and then sold it back to them for a profit. Yeah, that kid was crazy.
I have to say, I like that idea on his report card. You know, that would be something I'd be very proud of.
Yeah, I know that he was proud to have that comment. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if he has it framed. He's a drone pilot now. He, like, GPS does aerial photography.
Cool.
But, like, for infrastructure projects.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, we were the worst people imaginable. Because what they would do is, like, you know, you throw, like, 20 kids in. And, like, I wouldn't say we were using computers our whole lives. But, like, by the time we got computers when I was in, like, second or third grade. You know, like, DOS computers with QBasic. By the time we got to high school, like, we had all this experience and the teachers didn't. So you had teachers teaching classes where, like, you know, they're teaching mouse and keyboard, and like we're like programming fake viruses in QBasic and, you know, compiling them. There was one kid who convinced one of the teachers that he had wrote Command and Conquer, like that DOS floppy game,
yeah.
And that like he was play testing it, and he would just sit there and play Command and Conquer 45 minutes every day. Like, times were so different back then. Like, the difference between the people who knew what they were doing and didn't.
Well, those were your teachers that had been there for how long. And like you said, you grew up with it. So they had text material and whatever somebody told them, and that's all they knew.
Yeah. And then, like, we knew stuff.
Run circles around them.
Yeah, yeah. And that was fun. It was good times.
Yeah.
And, like, that was, like, internet, like, in the town that I lived in, like, internet came like way late. You know, everyone else had AOL, but it was a long distance call for us.
AOL.
So we had like a lot of like local BBSs, and people would telnet around. Man, it was like just playing door games, and then like accidentally not realizing that long distance is a thing, and then like spending like 4 hours on a California BBS. Then your parents are pissed off because you have a $300 phone bill.
Yep, those were the days.
Yeah, I got in so much trouble. My parents bought like this brand new computer, and I was like super excited to take it apart. So like who knows how much they spent? Probably a lot of money. Like, they didn't have much, and they come home and it's just in pieces everywhere. I put it back together; it was fine. But like,
yeah, reminds me. I don't know if you ever watched Young Sheldon.
No, never watched the show.
Well, I mean, if you know who Sheldon is from The Big Bang Theory, yeah. But what's interesting is he goes to the local Radio Shack and hangs out in the local Radio Shack at times. So you get to see some of the older old Radio Shack computers and stuff, and when he's bothering his parents about buying one and stuff. It's just a throwback in time. It's really cool. He's got it.
At least half an hour.
Yeah, I got to check that out.
So what are we checking out here?
We're just babbling about like BBSs and computers in the 90s.
Oh, so when I was learning how to walk.
Walk? We're old. Well.
I know. No, I spent most of my childhood in the 90s. Because I remember...
Somebody had to.
Yeah. Because I do remember dialing stuff. It actually, we were talking about this earlier. Like, my first computer was a computer, PS/1 that my dad brought home from his work, because they basically did replacing the computers. And I remember it was a big beige box and had a monitor with orange text on a black background.
Ooh, you had yellow monitor.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, because I remember that, because in when you load the description, it's yellow, and it's like, that's very strong orange yellow. And it actually had a tumbler system to turn it on instead of the actual like push button.
Really?
Employees used. Yeah. Yeah, it was that type of computer. And the crazy part is, like I said, my dad's never dealt with a computer. And I'm like a little kid. I'm like 6, 7. So we're just like, how do you do this thing? So first of all, we I didn't learn lockpicking until years later, so we disassembled the Tumblr and got to the direct button that when you turn the Tumblr, it hits. And then it's like, okay, there's crazy text, what is this? And we found out there was this thing called the type of basic, and we started typing in that. And then it's like, oh, we heard you could connect this thing, so my dad got an acoustic modem, and we hooked up our phone to that. And then started dialing into random places around. Ironically, there's a lot in New York State.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of being near you.
I mean,
yeah.
It seemed weird. Back then, I feel like every town had a BBS or two. Like,
I used to rip one.
Like, yeah, I don't know why. It just, yeah, everyone had, like, every town had a couple BBSs. Yeah.
Well, don't forget, back then, storage space was expensive.
Yeah.
So it was really tough to have just, like, one bulletin board service, you know, that had a lot of files, well, at least for guys who were into Commodore 64s back then. But you know, I ran one for 64s, and a bunch of guys ran them for Apple IIs and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I remember, like, ASCII art. You need headphones louder?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Maybe is this one yours?
Yes, that's it.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we used to actually offer, you know, off-site backup. It was free.
Uh-huh.
You could put your games up on my BBS.
Off-site game backup.
Yes,
sure.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
we call them today, for young people, they're known as, because this is what's happened with tech, is they're called cloud saves, and they're expensive.
Yes. It's a cloud server.
Yeah.
Before we actually knew the term.
Yeah. That's why I'm a longtime gamer, and so that's always my joke, is that it's like, I downloaded this new perk DLC, and I mean cheat codes. They used to be hidden and free. Now we buy them now.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the days. I had a couple of Xboxes that wouldn't go online after we used a few of those mod chips in them as well.
That was the only system I ever had, by the way. I'm actually doing a talk entirely about video games on here on the radio at 5 p.m., if I remember correctly. Yeah, at 5 p.m., so I'm going to try not to repeat myself. But yeah, that console, by the way, is the only one that has ever died on me. The first Xbox.
Original.
Not the 360 that was famous for the problems. The OG Xbox. It did last a long time. Like, literally.
Was yours modded?
No, actually.
What died on it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you could replace the hard drives.
Yeah,
up,
no,
could,
they were like little
power
tanks.
Supplies.
I know,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, literally, like, if I remember correctly, yeah, I bought the thing when it first launched. And then, yeah, it was ironically enough, a week before I ended up getting my Wii, it died. And I think it was a drive failure, but I was just like, I'm busy, so I put that in storage. So
my modded Xbox was great. Like, you could, like, I ran XBMC on it. Like,
yes.
It was like, yeah, like, movies would be on there. You could, like, rip whole games.
Yeah, that's where I started down the whole Kodi path. Well, XBMC eventually morphed into Kodi.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, like that, like, basically, a game system with a hard drive that you could just do whatever you want on once it was modded.
Without
was so powerful, yeah.
Yeah, because that's where I got my first mod chip with the pogo pins and learned that was a really bad idea.
Yeah, so they'd always slide around a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I hate to break up conversation.
We're time filling.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, because I don't know if the FF person showed up.